Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you for being the good, good Father that you are. Thank you that you have come to live within us, God, and you cause us to call you Abba, Father. You're our Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you have introduced everything that heaven holds to us here on earth. Today, we've been seated in heavenly places. And Father, we can't thank you enough for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming into this world to give your life so that we could live. Thank you for being merciful today, Lord. Thank you for answering so many prayers here and the healings that you've done in this house today and all around this world, all throughout our country, every church that's meeting this morning, Lord. That Father, you're moving in the midst of all of us, God, because you're good and everything that you do is good. We can't thank you enough. Thank you for bringing us together today as a body of believers, God, that we can freely and openly worship you here in this great country that we live in. I thank you for that mercy and that grace this morning. There's many people around this world that can't openly minister unto you today. Father, I lift up those around this world today, God, that are having to hide underground in secret just to worship you. Father, don't never let us take for granted the great freedom that we have. I thank you for mercy another day. I thank you for loving this world another day. You will never stop. I pray, Father, that you'd save many today around this world. Cause people to turn to you, God. Whatever it takes, Lord, out of your goodness and your mercy and your long suffering and your gentleness, God. Thank you for breathing life into us. Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for grace to worship you and to sing unto you and lift our hands unto you. Thank you, God, for the faith this morning to step out and to do the things that are pleasing unto you. Thank you. We love you. Can you tell in church how much you love him this morning? I love you, Jesus. We ought to tell him that more and more every day. I love you, Jesus. I'm not ashamed of you. I love you and I thank you for being the God that you are in my life. You're the one true God. You're my God. You're my Savior. You're my friend. And I love you, Jesus. I thank you that you have allowed me to walk with you. How long have you walked with Jesus? It's been the most greatest experience of your life. Father, thank you for having mercy on us. Thank you for keeping us. Aren't you glad for God's keeping power? Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost this morning that he keeps us? He's guiding us. He's directing us because he loves us. Father, I pray for this time of ministry in your word this morning, God. I pray that you would take the things that you've put within my heart, God. Give me the ability to deliver these things. These testimonies, God, your word, your truth, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd build our faith, as Hayden was saying this morning, Lord. We need faith today to live. We need faith tomorrow to make it. And you're the author and finisher of our faith. And I thank you, God, that you're building faith. I thank you that faith comes by hearing your word. And I pray by the power of your spirit this morning that you would give us the ears that we need to have this morning to hear your word, to build faith. That, Lord, we would finish this race strong in this hour, full of faith, full of zeal, full of joy and expectancy, God. That this world that lives around us would see you in a greater way tomorrow than they've ever seen you before. And Holy Spirit, we give you the glory and the honor and praise for that work that you do in us and through us to glorify the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. We ask it in your wonderful name this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Thank you, praise team. Aren't you glad for the gifts that God gives us? He's so good to us. It's good to be in the house of God with you this morning. I'm a little emotional today, as usual. But I just thank God for allowing us to be here this morning. I hope that God has refreshed you as we've gathered together in his name this morning. Isn't it wonderful to gather as a body? Sometimes we're separated for many reasons, but it's wonderful when we're together. Miss Darlene, it's good to see you this morning, sister. And I thank God. Amen. Pastor Lee is ministering in Florida this morning. If y'all would keep him in your prayers, he'll be ministering this morning and tonight at Pastor Jerry Jenkins Church in Bonifay. But I want to thank you for just your prayers and your wonderful words of encouragement, your cards, your giving, the food you've brought to Tammy and I in these last couple of weeks. I just can't thank you enough for that. And I want to talk to you this morning from my heart. I believe many of you may have come in here today with some very heavy burdens. We know that this life is full of troubles, right? This life is full of trials and struggles and illnesses and things that we face in this life every day. But I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus this morning. I'm thankful that we overcome because he has overcome. I'm thankful that he has given us access to his wonderful throne of grace, that we can enter into this beautiful place with full assurance and full confidence that God will meet us there, and that God is meeting every need that we have, even if it's not the answer that you're looking for. How many of you know this morning that God is meeting every need that you have? The Bible says in Psalm 23 that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. That means we lack nothing. We will lack nothing that God has for us. And he is a good God this morning. Amen. And I am so excited to be a child of God. I'm so excited to serve him this morning. Next Sunday is going to be our Friendship Sunday, which is our Each One, Reach One Sunday. We called it Friendship Sunday now. But I was talking to Brother Henry this morning, and this Sunday, today, marks his, where's he at? Raise your hand, Henry. Is he in here? There he is. How long has it been? 5 years. Our Brother Henry walked into this place a dead man, and he walked out fully alive. Amen. And I'm thankful for what God is doing in your life, brother, raising you up as a minister in the way that he's using you. I came into this church 21 years ago. Next Sunday, I was greeted by Miss Darlene Montalbano, my first hug coming in the door. And I came in a dead man as well. And I walked out of First New Testament Church, born again, alive and well, full of God's Spirit. And God has also made me a minister today. And I was talking to Brother Felix this morning, and this month, I believe, or during an Each One, Reach One month, God brought him to this church, and he is also a minister in this church as well. So I think it's just wonderful how God is just doing great things, and I'm believing for next Sunday that God will bring some in that don't know Jesus, and they'd walk in here dead and walk out alive, amen? Jesus is still saving souls, amen? And we ought to be expecting that every day of our life. But I just want to thank God. If you're here this morning, I know God has brought you here for a reason. He's brought you here to sit in his presence. He's brought you to be in the authority or sit under the authority of his word this morning. And aren't you glad for the word of God this morning? Aren't you glad that the word of God is faith building in our life? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so I thank God every time someone stands from this pulpit and delivers this wonderful word. This word has authority in it. Amen. This word is a mirror. This word is faith building in our life. And I can tell you what, I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost this morning who takes this beautiful word and brings it alive in my life. Amen. It's wonderful to study the Bible. It's wonderful to have Bible studies and ministry where we make notes and we meditate on the word of God day in and day out. But aren't you glad that we can have a real intimate walk with God? And I want to talk about that this morning. I talk about it quite often because I believe we live in a country that, you know, 85% of our country, at least as of 5 years ago, claims itself to be Christian. And a lot of people around this country pray for Jesus to come into their life. They join church. They get, you know, sorted out with the youth groups and just do church life. And I believe in the Bible in Matthew 7, it says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but never enter into the kingdom. I believe there's a lot of people that live in deception in our country, thinking that they just pray to prayer and just join the local church and try to be a good person. And hopefully my good will outweigh my bad when I reach the other side. I believe that's pretty much the mindset that most of us probably grew up with. But how many of you know this morning that we can have an intimate walk with the God who created us? Because Jesus Christ has made the way for us to be set free from the bondage of sin. And he has reconciled us unto the Father by the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad for Jesus this morning. Had he not left heaven in all of his humility and came into this world to seek and save you and whom was lost, you didn't find him. He came and found us. Amen. He sought us out and he bought us with his precious blood. And I'm excited this morning that we don't have to just do church. We don't have to live a life of church life. You know, a lot of people go to church on Sunday because it's what you do on Sunday, right? But we can literally have this intimate walk with God and to know Jesus Christ in a very intimate way. Guys, young people, would you please hear me this morning? Mom and dad cannot get you into heaven. Mom and dad cannot walk this life out. Mom and dad and grandmas and grandpas are wonderful instructors in the Word of God. Grandmas, moms, and dads and grandpas are wonderful folks and even friends that can point us towards Jesus. To live out a life under the grace of God, to be able to walk a life of righteousness. And I said, by the grace of God, we walk this life out. And when you look as young people into someone old like me, or some of these older folks that you see in here, you're watching people that are real people that struggle with everyday life. We're not perfect people. We're not perfect moms. We're not perfect dads. We're not perfect grandparents. But I can tell you what, the one that we serve is perfect. And this God is transforming our old lives, just like he's transforming your young lives in here. And we're all walking with God together, if you're born again. And I pray that you are walking with God. I pray, dear God, don't let a day go by that you don't know that the Spirit of God has bore witness with you, that you're a child of God. Jesus wants you to walk with him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be intimate with him. He doesn't want you just listening to a few Bible passages in a Bible study and say, praise God, amen. And I go to First New Testament Church and got the wonderful ministers in my life to teach me. But God wants you to really intimately walk with him and to know him during every single thing that we face in this life. How many of you know that we will not make it without Jesus? Alcohol is not going to get you through another day. It's just a Band-Aid for a moment. Then you're vomiting the next day, all right? But Jesus is cure. He's not a Band-Aid. Hear me this morning. Jesus is not a Band-Aid. Jesus doesn't just last one night and the next day everything is back. Jesus is the deliverer. Amen. He is the absolute cure. He's our healer this morning. He's our rock. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I can tell you what, you can literally, young people, older people, if you're here for the first time, you can have this intimate walk with God to know that you know him. John 17:3, I quote this passage quite often. I'll preach it until my breath it runs out. Jesus said, this is life eternal. Young people, hear me. Life eternal is not how good you are. Life eternal is not how many times you shadow the door of a church. Life eternal is not your good outweighing your bad. Life eternal is that you come to know. And that word know is a very intimate relationship like you have with your mom and dad. Or husbands and wives like you know one another. This is an intimate experiencing relationship. You are living a life together with someone so intimate, day in, day out. You know everything about God, and God knows everything about you. CJ, you know everything about your wife. And Nicole, you know everything, Lord help you, about your husband, CJ. Amen. Avery, everything is about that life of intimacy, walking together, living life together. So life eternal. How many of you, everybody in this room would say, yeah, I want life eternal. I don't think anybody would be so foolish to say this morning that, you know what, I don't want life eternal. But I think everybody in this room would say this morning, if you're hearing me on this internet this morning, I would love to have life eternal. Do you know that Jesus made the way for us to have life eternal? Do you know that outside of Jesus, everybody in this room is condemned already? There's no hope for no one outside of Jesus. And a simple prayer and you going to church is not what God is looking from your life. He is looking for your heart to cry out to him in the desperate need that you need him to come in and rescue your life from the bondage of sin. That's what God wants you to know. And he wants you to continue that life of walking with him every single day until he gets you home. Amen. And apart from the grace of God and the Holy Ghost leading your life, you will not walk with God. You will not know God. You will not have this life. So this is eternal life, or this is life eternal, that they come to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, in whom have been sent for us to know God. Because you can never know God apart from Jesus, right? He said in John 14:6, we know these scriptures, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the way. No one gets to the Father except through me. This is Jesus speaking this morning. So you want life eternal, you must know God. If you want to know God, you must know Jesus. And how do we know Jesus? We put faith in what Jesus Christ did for the atonement for your sin when he stepped out of heaven and he gave his life on Calvary. Aren't you glad for Jesus Christ this morning? Aren't you glad that he came to rescue you? And he's laid it out in the gospel so very clearly for all of us to understand, even young children. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have super knowledge. I can tell you what, if the Holy Ghost doesn't give you a revelation of Jesus, you'll never see him. Aren't you glad that he who sent me draws us and gives us the ability to see and to hear and to know that this God really loves me. And he gives me a revelation of what Jesus did at the cross so that I could turn to this God by faith and believe in him. Amen? Just like he told Peter, whom the men say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Ain't no man revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this unto you and has granted you faith and granted you the ability to turn in a repentant state and to call upon the name of the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost this morning? Hey, guys, we can't give any honor and praise to nobody but Jesus Christ. I thank God that we can be fishermen. I thank God we're the preachers that God has chosen in this hour. But I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost is not doing that work through us, man will never see and you will never have this intimate walk with God. We ought to be desperate not to leave this room knowing that, hey, I am a child of the living God because the Holy Spirit has bore witness with me that I'm a child of God. So, who wants life eternal this morning? Everybody in this room wants life eternal. Well, I'm here to tell you as a minister of the gospel, there's only one way to have eternal life. You must believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your souls. Amen? Aren't you glad for Jesus this morning? He wants us to have this intimate walk with him. I want to read some passages this morning. Many of you have been praying for Tammy and I. And many of you may have been on Facebook reading some of the blogs that I've put out. I want to thank you for your kind words and for sharing those things with people. If you haven't gone on Facebook, you can go read them. But I thank God. I thank God for Facebook. I know it can be wicked at times and some horrible things on there. But I can tell you what, it is a wonderful way, to be quite honest with you. I've been able to see lots of people reading these posts. People have been texting us, people I've gone to school with that have been sending messages thanking God for the messages that's been able to be ministered to folks. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about your intimate walk and how God builds our faith. I've titled this Yoke to Jesus, Our Faith Builder. All right? Yoke to Jesus, Our Faith Builder. Yoke, simply, y'all know what a yoke is. Jesus made this comment in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. That was the passage of scripture that was preached the day that I gave my life to Jesus 21 years ago. Pastor Lee was ministering the gospel. And at the end of that message, God gave this passage to me, and I have stood fully on it to this very day. Jesus spoke to me, and he's speaking into your life this morning. I want you to take my yoke upon you. This is Jesus telling you as a disciple this morning. I want you to take my yoke. That means you're going to be linked to me. Everywhere that I go, you go. Everywhere that you go, I go. A yoke is what would bind two oxen together as they plow a field. That little piece of wood with the rings on it. You see them in the antique stores today hanging on the walls full of cobwebs. Amen. But I can tell you, they used that yoke to put those two animals together, that wherever those animals would go, they were together. So Jesus is speaking. He said, take my yoke upon you, and I want you to learn of me. I don't want you to go to seminary and learn about me, and even though seminaries can be good, Bible colleges are great. But I want you to take my yoke upon you, and I want you to learn of me. I want you to know who I am, for I am meek, and I want you to know that. I am lowly, and I want you to know that. And you shall find rest for your souls. I want you to know that. Aren't you glad that God has brought rest to our souls? We can say amen to that. And we know that we have eternal life because the Bible says that our souls are going to go to heaven. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But how do you know today God wants to bring rest for your soul? Can I get an amen? Maybe you came in here today and there's no rest for you. Maybe you're not resting today. I can tell you, in the midst of these trials, my sister died 2 weeks ago. She passed away of diabetic coma suddenly. My mom has bone cancer, okay? I'm not telling you these things to make you feel sorry. I'm giving you the reality of life. We face things. Young people, your moms and dads face things. Older people face things. Young people face things. So my mom is battling with cancer. My mom's been ministering to my sister and praying for my sister. My sister suddenly passed away. 1 week later, my wife had a major seizure and is still recovering from that today. Three things that hit really strong. My house flooded back in 2016. Last year, my son almost was murdered. Okay? And I'm telling you these things because I want God to get the glory. And I want God to get the testimony that he's building. So I say these things to the glory of God. Why do troubled times happen? Well, I can tell you what. If you're yoked to Jesus Christ in the midst of your troubled times and your good times, God is doing something in your life to reveal himself. He's revealing to you that you can take his yoke upon you. You can learn of him. He's meek and he's lowly in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. Not only eternal rest, but I'm talking about rest in the midst of your troubles. Amen? So some of you come in here this morning, you were standing in this altar, and you're praying for troubled times right now that you're going through. I can promise you everyone in this room is going through some troubled time. I know just about every one of you in this room very personally. We go through troubled times. We're facing troubled times now. You young people, maybe it's just a small trouble, or it could be a very strong, big trouble. But I can tell you what, God is teaching Jeff Lee how to live in this intimate walk with him so that I know what he's doing in the midst of my troubles. That way we're not just doing church life, coming in, listen to a preacher preach, and off we go, and then we'll come back next week for another counsel by the pastor and a checklist that we can do for the week. That is not what God wants from us. He wants you to be yoked to him. Young people, he wants you to walk with him while you're at school. He wants you to walk with him, young, older people, while you're in your workplaces, while you're at the colleges. Wherever you go, God is with you, and he's leading you, and he's guiding you and directing you into all of his truth. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10, eye has not seen, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, we know that we love God because he first loved us, right? The greatest commandment of this great book is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. We will never love God apart from God, right? Because God is love. And when you're born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So eye has not seen, has neither entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, we use this passage of scripture and say, man, I can't wait to get to heaven. God's preparing things for us, and he is. But if we go to the very next verse, verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit of God searches all things, yes, even the great and mighty deep things of God. Amen? So, even though we're going to see actually with our eyes one day the things that God has prepared for us because we love him, he has revealed them unto us now. How many of you know that to be true? Amen? He's revealed, and maybe you're saying, really? Yes. Let's walk with God a little closer, church, and we're going to see that God has revealed them unto us now by his Spirit. What has he revealed unto us? The deep things about himself. So, when you take Jesus by faith, and you're yoked to him, he is going to give you rest for your soul. He's going to show you how meek he is. He's going to show you how lowly in heart he is. He's going to show you how much he loves you every single day. You hearing me this morning? These are things that we experience in a life walking with Jesus versus just having a head knowledge of what the Bible says about Jesus. Thank God for this word. Amen. This word is life, and this word is transforming and sanctifying our life every day. And it reveals to us who God is, who Jesus is. So if he says, I am your rock and I'm your refuge, I'm your fortress, I'm your strong tower, and I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and we shout hallelujah, then every day when we walk with this God that we're yoked to, he literally proves to you, Brother Felix, I am your rock. How do you know? But because I was going through a rough time and I was able to stand firm upon this rock. I didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring for me, but I stood upon the rock. How did you do that? I learned to do that because God has taught me how to stand upon him. He's your fortress. He's your strong tower. He's your stronghold. How do you know that? Because he has proven himself in the troubles and the trials and the struggles that I have faced in my life. And I can tell you right now, in the things that I have been dealing with, God is dealing with those things in my life and revealing things in my life. He's bringing me to a place of greater faith. He's bringing you to a greater place of faith. He's revealing to you his goodness. He's revealing to me his goodness. And he's showing us how, in the midst of the troubled times, how he is ministering through us to the world that lives around us. Okay? Because we can say, hey, we go to a wonderful church. Praise God for the wonderful church. But we serve a wonderful God. When I go out into that world, I am to be talking about God, not about how wonderful our church is. I love our church, and I will always talk about how wonderful our church is. But the reason our church is so wonderful, let me tell you why our church is so wonderful. Because we serve a wonderful God. We serve a God that's real. We're not serving a God that we know about. We're serving a God that we absolutely know. And he is transforming my life every day. Guys, there's a world that needs to hear this. And I can tell you, you and I are walking with Jesus. We have this message to bring to that world out there. And they're not just looking at your life, listening to what you say. But they're watching your life, Brother Ben. Everywhere you go, brother, people are watching your life. Don't they? We watch people's lives. I promise you, people are staring at you. They're staring at you. They're watching you. They're listening to you. And they're wanting to know, is this God really real? And I can tell you what, when they see something going on in your life, they're going to say, hey, won't you come tell me about this hope that's in you? There's a hope that I see. That hope is Jesus Christ. I've seen you go through some of the most troubled times of your life, young man. Your brother's, what happened to him? Man, that's troubling times. But I still see you praising God. I still see you lifting your hands. I still see you going on. I still see you loving your brother and ministering and praying for your brother. Can you tell me why that you're like this? Let me tell you why I'm like this. Are you with me this morning? So God is doing something great in our life, and he's revealing to himself. Do you know that when you get with Jesus, the day that you're born again, the Bible talks about a marriage, right? Paul talked about the marriage between the man and the woman is a resemblance of our relationship with God. And when a man and a woman stand together before a minister, Felix just did a wedding not too long ago. And when those folks stood before you, brother, they were standing there, man and woman, and you have the officiant there, and he begins to minister to the people, and he says, you know, Brother CJ, do you take Nicole to be your lawfully wedded wife? Amen? And you're going to be together through good times and bad times, through sick times and through healthy times, through poor times or rich times, until death do you part. And you say, yes, I do. I want to marry her. I want to give my life, and I'm going to spend every life, whether we're going through poor times or whether we're wealthy. You've been through a lot of times together, and God's gotten you through those poor times, and he's gotten through those wealthy times. There's times when we're sick. There's times when we're healthy. God is there. You're there for him. He's there for you. Well, we're with God, and God is with us. And so through this life, when we go through hard times, God proves that I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Men and women, humans, will leave and forsake one another. You know, somebody could say, well, you know, my husband got in this car wreck and now he can't walk. So he's not the husband that I married, so I'll just leave him. There are people that really do that. Sounds horrible, but it happens, right? Or this woman didn't, you know, meet up to the standards that I thought she was. So, you know, troubled times come and I'm just going to leave her because she don't make the money that she was rich when I married her. And now she doesn't have her job no more. So she's not making me this special guy anymore. And people just leave one another. But how many know the Lord never leaves us? Amen. He is there through good times, bad times, through the thick and thin. Doesn't matter what happens, God is going to be faithful to you. He said, in this world, you're going to have trials, tribulations, good times, bad times, sick times, healthy times. And whatever you face, he said, I'm not going to leave you. I've overcome the world. Hear me again this morning. I'll say it till my last breath. Jesus has overcome the world, church. And if he's overcome the world, hey, we win. We overcome the world. Amen. We need to remind ourselves of that every single day. Amen, Ethan? I see you smiling, brother. Hallelujah. We're overcomers. We're winning this race, guys. And we're going to make it home because the Holy Ghost is leading us all the way. But through this walk, he is teaching us every single day. My brother Jim Burton has gone for quite a while without a job. And financially, it's okay, brother. I know everybody's been praying for you. But financially, it can be a grip on your family when you don't have a job for 4 or 5 months. All right? It's very difficult. But I can tell you what, God has not forsaken that man. He's not left him one single time. He's still with him. He's still helping him. He's still feeding his family. You've not lacked one good thing, brother. Not one good thing. God has been with my brother, and he's kept him. And now he's about to get a new job. We're going to pray for that, brother, that we get the good news for this good job that God has brought in your path. Amen? The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. How many of you know that this morning? That's not many. I'm going to say it again. I want to see some hands if you really believe it. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I want you to hold your hands. Now look around the room. Every hand in this room, according to your profession this morning, and what the Bible says, if you're a child of the living God this morning, listen, your steps are ordered of God. My steps are ordered of God. Your house flooded. My steps are ordered of God. My son almost got murdered. Your steps are ordered of God. My sister passed away. Your steps are ordered of God. My mom is dying of bone cancer. Your steps are ordered of God. Your wife went through a horrible seizure and she's regaining her strength. She almost passed away. My steps are ordered by God. Job, you lost all 10 of your children. Your house is burnt. You're full of boils. His steps are ordered of God. Joseph, you're going to be sold as a slave, cast out by your brothers, put into prison for years, almost 15 years. His steps were ordered of God. Are y'all with me this morning? Beautiful Disturbance. My brother wrote a book about. If you hadn't read it, you might want to get into it. It's pretty good. But listen, your steps are ordered of God, right? How many of you believe it now? What may you face tomorrow? Uh-oh. You know what the good thing is? Hey, we can shout hallelujah tomorrow like we are today. Because you know what? God is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. How many of you believe that this morning? So it doesn't matter what tomorrow may bring, right? So on a Wednesday, I'm spending all day long with Chris Phillips right after the conference. And we were making some rounds and we went to Pastor Shipp's house and put in a lock on his door. And we went and visited some other people that needed some security work. Every day was going good that day. My wife was not feeling well. We've been praying for my wife's neck, right, Miss Tammy? And she's not feeling too well. So I came home and spent the afternoon with her. My wife never says, "Will you stay home with me tonight and not go to church?" It just never happens because I always say, "Baby, would you like me to stay with you tonight?" She's like, always, "No, you go to church." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to go to church because it's the best place I can be. I can be praying for you there." This night, Tammy said, "I need you to stay with me if you could, please." And I honored my wife's request and I stayed with her. Chris Phillips came to church on that Wednesday night of September the 30th. And when he got home, I was sitting in the back room. He sat on the couch. And my wife had an ice pack on her neck, and I went to the front to bring it, to put it back in the freezer. She wasn't feeling too well. I said, "Baby, what are your symptoms other than your head is hurting and you're not feeling well?" She says, "I'm just dizzy and I don't feel good." I said, "Would you like me to run you a bath?" She says, "No, I don't." 10:15 at night, my wife was always loving me to run a bath for her. But this day she said, "No, our steps are ordered of God." I'm sitting on the bed looking at her, and all of a sudden my wife goes into a major seizure. Y'all know Tammy? Sweet little innocent Tammy. I wish it would have been me instead of her. But my wife quit breathing for a little while. I don't think she actually died, but she was not breathing for almost 3 minutes. I lost my mind. My steps are ordered of God. Tammy's steps are ordered of God. Can I be honest with you for a minute as your friend this morning? I lost my mind. Most people say, well, the preacher's not supposed to lose his mind because he's the guy preaching from the pulpit to tell you that you need to just be strong. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm going to tell you, be strong. Hallelujah. Because that's what God says, right? Let's put our faith in God. But I'm going to tell you what, when that happened, I lost my mind. And I went to screaming, and I didn't know what to do. And I'm screaming for Chris to come help me, and I didn't know what to do. And I lost my mind. If I'd have been a captain of a ship, my boat would have sunk. And I was screaming like I felt like the disciples, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Look at what's happening right now. I'm on my knees. Dear God, please help. I'm screaming for Aaron. Son, where are you? I'm screaming for my neighbors. I'm screaming for whoever. I'm screaming, God, please have mercy. I'm screaming, call 911. Chris is there with me. He's trying to help me get my wife breathing again. We get 911 on the call. We turn her over on her side. She begins to breathe again nearly 3 minutes later. It's not something I want to relive, but I'm telling you this morning because I want God to get glory. That in the midst of something that was very troubling to me, Jeff Lee lost his mind. I did. But you know what happened while I was losing my mind? The Holy Ghost began to comfort me. And you know, I've read that passage at funerals all the time. 1 Corinthians, you know, the God of all comfort shall comfort you so you can comfort others whenever you're being comforted. Then whenever someone else needs to be comforted, like I can comfort you because God comforted me. So I can say, Sister Jane, I can promise you when you go through a rough time, even if your husband stops breathing, God will comfort you. Now, I can honestly stand full of boldness and say that this morning because you know what was happening to me when I was losing my mind? God comforted me. And there was nobody there. You know how he did it? He did it in my spirit. He did it through the EMS driver, young girl. I don't even know her name. She's coming up to the preacher. You know, I'm the one that, you know, you always think that the preacher is the guy doing all the comforting, right? She began to come. I don't even know if this girl was a Christian. I think she was. She says, sir, it's going to be all right. She wrapped her arms around me. She don't even know me. We're in the back of the ambulance. My wife is out. Tammy's out. She's unconscious. She says, sir, it's going to be all right. And that was just the love of God comforting me in a bad time. He wasn't leaving me. He was right there by my side. Young people, hear me this morning. This life is real. I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you reality. I'm telling you experience that I absolutely experienced that God came and visited me. Can't see God. Couldn't touch God. My brother Jim Burton come over to the house. Kevin Murphy was coming, but Jim beat him there. I called Pastor Lee screaming. I called Brother Bill May screaming. I lost my mind. But in the midst of it, God was comforting me. And my mind was coming back. He said, Jeff, just calm down, son. I'm in the boat with you. I know this looks like a very strong storm right now in the midst of what you're already going through, but I got your back. I'm in your boat. And God began to settle those winds and those waves. Y'all get the picture when you read it in the Bible. But when you really have it happen in your life, I was like, wow, amazing. So then the journey begins. You're like, oh no, what happens from here? How many of you know that your minds go into the future? Natural mind, don't you hate the natural mind? The natural mind starts wondering, oh my gosh, is my wife going to be okay, right? Is she going to be able to function? Is she going to wake up out of this coma? Her hands are curled up and she's having nervous problems in her body. oh no, is she going to stay that way? And the devil is up in your grill, you're done. Your wife will never travel with you no more. Your wife's going to be in a wheelchair the rest of her life. Your wife's going to be this. Your wife's not going to wake up. Your wife's going to do just every single lie the enemy could to shoot at me. He was firing the darts. Boom. One right after the other. How many of you know those darts too well? Aren't you glad for the shield of faith? Come on now. Aren't you glad for the Bible? Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost that just steps in and begins to shield all those darts from your mind? Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost? How many of you experienced that before? Come on now. Hey, we're talking about life as a Christian here. We're not talking about church people. We're talking about a real intimate walk with God when we know those fiery darts are being shot at us, Chris. Oh boy, Rachel, look, this family knows what I'm talking about. They've been through it. And I can tell you, everybody in this room has been through something. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm trying to encourage you this morning, guys. Listen, God fights our battles. God is there with that shield of faith. I can tell you what, it's the Word of God just coming up and just blocking every fiery dart of the enemy. And the reason God is fighting your battle, because we lose it. We don't have the strength to fight our battles. We don't understand why do things prolong. We've been praying for Robin for how long now? I'm going to get raw with you this morning. Our sister's in bed right now in severe pain. She was like that yesterday. She was like that last week. She was like that last month. How many of you been praying for Robin? How many of you get the devil in your head? Well, she's not healed yet. Now what? Let me see if I can get in Caleb's mind and wear him out. Let me see if I can get in all the other people's mind and see if I can wear them out. She's not healed yet. Where's your God at, CJ? Where's your God at, Mr. Preacher across the world? Where's your God at now? How come his wife's not healed yet? What's the problem? You told me about a God that heals. I'm being real this morning. This is what the devil shoots at us. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? How come your wife's not healed this morning? Your God's the healer, right? How many of you know that the devil loves to make accusations against God? How many of you know that God is the healer this morning? Come on now. Listen, period. Where's your healer at this morning, Caleb? For your wife. Y'all stay with me. Because I'm watching my wife day after day in the emergency room. My wife is tied to a bed and I am weeping uncontrollably. And the devil's in my grill. Where's your God at now? You got people in the parking lot out there praying. She's not any better. Day one goes by. People are praying. I got thousands of people calling me saying they're praying. Where's your God at? He's not answering. Where's he at? Huh? Where's your God at now? How many times have you been praying for your wife? Where's your God at now? That's the way the devil moves. All right? Y'all hear me this morning. Can you imagine this? Mary and Martha came to Jesus. Y'all stay with me for a minute. Mary and Martha came to Jesus and said, our brother Lazarus, in whom you love very much, has grown sick. He has taken on a sickness. Y'all with me? John chapter 11. He's gotten sick and we would like for you to pray for him. Come and would you heal your friend in whom is sick? Jesus, at that moment, had all of the authority like he did with the centurion soldier. He could just spoke the word, right? It'd have been a done deal. Why? Why didn't he do it? Why did he do it for the centurion soldier, yet he did not do it for Lazarus? Where's your God at? How come he didn't speak? I saw you, Mary and Martha, you went to your friend, Jesus Christ, whom says he's the Son of the living God. You asked him to come to heal your brother. He told you he was coming, and then he didn't show up. This guy's a liar. Y'all with me today? Are y'all with me? Where's your God at, Mary and Martha? Day one goes by. Day two goes by. This man dies. Oh, I can promise you the devil was up in their grill. Your brother just died. This man whom you love called Jesus, if he would have been there, he wouldn't have died. Where's your God at? I thought you said this was the Messiah. I thought you said this man Jesus could heal people. But the Bible says out of love for these people, Jesus literally didn't go. when they asked him to come. Doesn't make sense, does it? How many of you know that God's ways and our ways are not the same? How many of you really have read that in Scripture and said, okay, amen. What does that mean? Oh no. Y'all with me? God's ways and our ways are not the same. Because if it was our way, boom, we're just going to come take care of the problem. You need finances? Bam, give you $1 million. You're sick? Boom, you're healed. You're hungry? Boom, I'll give you something to eat. Now, Jesus did that multitudes of times, right? We read it all through the New Testament. He did it multiple times. People needed something? Bam, he did it. And then there was times when he allowed things to be prolonged. How many times did the disciples pass that man at the gate? Beautiful. But on one particular day, boom, he healed the man. He passed him. He could have got them to stop the day before, 2 days before, a week before. How many of you know that God's ways and our ways are not the same? How many of the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God? Caleb, share. Your steps are ordered of God. Robin's steps are ordered of God, right? All things work out for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? Amen. All things work out for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. How many of you love God this morning? Your steps are ordered of God. And everything that you face, whether you're facing it right now or the days to come, are ordered of God. So where's your God at, Mary and Martha? Here he comes, late. The man's been in the grave for 4 days. Now, Mary and Martha had all the faith that Jesus, if you would quickly come and touch your friend Lazarus, he would be made whole. She believed it, and she expected him to come and show up. Day one in the emergency room, Lord, touch my wife. Let her wake up in the morning absolutely perfect. She woke up the next morning, no different. Your wife woke up the next morning, no different. Day two, we're praying. Day three, they're praying. Their brother dies. Now, my wife is still alive, and so is your wife. Praise God. Their brother died. I can promise you they're very distraught at this moment. And here comes Jesus. Days later, he's way too late. So Martha runs out into the streets. Jesus, if you would have just been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Can you see how distraught she would be? Lord, if you'd have showed up, my wife never would have had the seizure. Why couldn't you have stopped that? Why did you let that happen to poor Tammy? Why didn't you let it happen to me? Why did you let it happen to her? My mom has cancer. Why didn't you let it happen to me? Why does it have to be her? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Our ways and his ways are not. We prayed for Miss Rebecca for how long? We're still praying for Miss Rebecca. People may come and say, hey, where's your God at? Is he not hearing you? Where's he at? We saw him heal this person, but he hadn't healed your wife yet. What's the problem? Are y'all with me this morning? I'm here to bring you hope this morning. I'm here to bring and tell you that your steps are ordered of God. God's got timing on every single thing in this life. When you read the Old Testament all the way through to the New, God's timing is everything. God is sovereign. How many of you know that this morning? How many know that he is I am? He's Alpha. He's Omega. He is the one true God. He is in control of every single thing in this world. Satan is the god of this world, but God is God Almighty. All power has been given to him in heaven and in earth. That's the truth this morning. Hear me. And God is a good God. Have you know that this morning, Brother Lauren? In the midst of the years that have gone by with your wife being in the ailment that she is, God has given you strength every single day. And when every human in this room looks upon Lauren's life, I know that man walks with God. He's still in church today. Look at him. He's still walking with God. He's still serving God. He's still loving God. You've not fallen down. You're still going. Why? Because God is with you. And there's a testimony that he's building. Amen. What is the testimony? I don't know. That's the adventure of walking with God. Sometimes God will tell it to you. And sometimes he doesn't. Right? Sometimes he let you know. He let his disciples know. Hey, Lazarus is really not dead. He's sleeping. You know, he's sick, but he needs to rest. And then they're like, well, what happened to him if he needs rest? He died. He died. But he told Mary and Martha, he said, this sickness is not unto death. He said ahead of time, he prophesied to them, listen, this sickness is not unto death, but it's unto the glory of God. This sickness is for the glory of God. As hard as that is to believe, what our sister is dealing with, because her steps are ordered of God, it is for the glory of God. How can you say that? Because that's just a fact. Why was the man born blind? Was it because of his sin? No. That man's born blind for the glory of God, because on one particular day, way into the future, after this man has gone his whole life without being able to see, God is going to work a miracle that is going to bring salvation to a multitude of people and prove to the entire world, I am God. Amen. So what do your steps look like, brother? God only knows. We're excited to watch. I'm excited to watch what goes on in James's life. I'm excited to watch what's going on with Chris and Rachel's life. I'm excited to go along and watch every single one of my brothers and sisters go through rough times. As hard as that may seem, Paul said, in the midst of the troubled times that I dealt with, death was working in me, but life, look at the smile on James, life comes out of that family. They're still serving God. They've not cursed God. Job went through a rough time in his life. Was he not a man that was full of righteousness? My righteous servant, Job, God orchestrated it, right? Hey, Satan, have you considered my servant, Job? Seriously? Yes. Why? Job's steps were ordered of God. God wanted to prove his sovereignty. God wanted to prove who he was. God wanted to prove that that man loves me not because he's rich and got all the things that are fancy for this life. That man loves me for me. And I am going to prove it to the entire world. Listen, Job's steps were ordered of God. Your wife, my beautiful friend Robin Cher, her steps are ordered of God. Young children, Mia, listen, I know, sister, that the devil probably gets in your young mind and constantly tries to bring torment to you and your sisters. Why is mom still like this? Day four goes by, I'm praying for Tammy. God, why am I not seeing any improvements? 5 o'clock in the morning, y'all stay with me. 5 o'clock in the morning, I see you. There's a young man named Justin, who's the nurse. Been our nurse for 2 nights. 5 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Ghost came into our room and met with Mr. Justin. And God began to pour out of my life, ministering the gospel to this young man, brilliant young man, wonderful worker, wonderful nurse, hardworking. God began to minister to that young man to bring life and hope. Had she gotten better the day before, they'd have put her in a regular room. I'd have never had that opportunity with Justin. Are you hearing me, young people? Hey, God orchestrates our steps, right? Y'all with me? Y'all want to be ministers of reconciliation? Let's keep our eyes open in the world. Amen? What is God doing? God's doing great things. You know what? If I just yoke myself to Jesus, I will see exactly what he's doing. So everywhere Jesus goes, I'm going to go. And we're going to walk together with Jesus. So, Lord, I need you to touch my wife right now. I don't want to see her like this anymore. This is me. God, please touch her. Next day goes by, still in the ICU, not much better. Then I run across this woman named Patty, such a sweet lady. Maybe one day you'll all get to meet Patty. I think Miss Darlene knows her. She knows you. Miss Patty goes to the Healing Place Church. And she was telling me about her daughter who had the same exact incident that Tammy had. Her salt levels, instead of being 116, which is really low, that's what Tammy had. This woman's daughter had 46, which is, you don't live with a 46 salt count. Most of the time, you pass away. The girl lived. She spent 19 days in the hospital and walked out of there perfectly normal. This woman began to minister to me. Let me tell you about my daughter. And I cried like a baby and said, Lord, if you could do it for her, you can do it for my wife, Tammy. Had she gotten out of the ICU the day before, y'all with me? We never would have talked to Miss Patty. There again. Can you see how God is orchestrating things? So Mary and Martha come down the road. Where were you? How come you weren't with us? If you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Then Mary comes. Where were you? Girls, today you're going to see the glory of God. Maybe today is the day that you would see the glory of God. But I'll say this. Is the glory of God always the answer that we're looking for? Can you hear me? Because we might try to define what the glory of God is. See, we would think that the glory of God would be, hey, when this guy was born blind, the very next day he could just give him his sight. That would be glory, right? I mean, this kid was blind. 10 days later, he can see now. But you know what? The glory of God, if I can be honest, is the times when I'm just going to let your wife have this. Could have stopped it. Been the glory of God. Tammy never would have had the seizure, right? We would think in our natural way of thinking, that would be the glory of God. People would see that God stopped that from happening. And God does do that at times, right? Every day he's saving our life when we're going down the road at 100, 70 miles an hour and people passing us. I don't go 100. I almost said it and ratted myself out. But listen, God is always at work. So what is the glory of God, Brother Lauren? The glory of God is that God gets the greatest testimony from your and Miss Rebecca's life as a married couple. God knows exactly what it takes to be in intimacy with you. Everything that he's doing is to bring you and I closer to him and to reveal to this world there's a God that still walks with these people. They're not just following me because they're going along in life like such and such who's never been sick. Because sometimes we can look at other people and say, God, why is my wife in the hospital? Why is my wife in the bed? And such and such's wife has never had a problem. Y'all with me this morning? These are real thoughts the devil puts in our head, right? But how many know the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God? Don't you realize what an honor it is that your wife would bear what she's bearing for the moment that she's in if people would come to Jesus through that? Now, people might reverse that and say, why would you say that or pronounce that on someone? I'm scripturally reading from the Bible that Jesus could have easily healed Lazarus on day one. And out of his love for these people, for their sake, he even told his disciples, for your sake, I've waited until now. It's for your sakes. And the reason it's for your sakes is so that you'll believe. Go read it. John 11. For your sakes and for my love for them, I am going to literally let this man die. And the reason I'm going to do it is because I'm going to cause a faith in you that's greater than you could ever imagine. So as you're hanging on, and our dear sister is hanging on to faith in Jesus, I'm not going to stop. There's going to be a glory at the end of this thing that God will receive the greatest glory. Amen? Day 4, we're at the hospital. Nothing's changed. Day 5, my wife begins to wake up. Hallelujah. All of you guys are praying. So you know what else it did in the midst of Tammy waiting? Every one of you learned how to be persistent in prayer with God. When we're talking about our sister Robin, and the Bible teaches us, when you start knocking, don't stop knocking. When the widow goes before the unjust judge, don't stop the nagging. Don't stop your importunity. Don't stop. Faith keeps knocking, right? And we're going to keep on knocking till that bread comes, bro. Brother, we're going to keep on knocking on that door. James, we're going to knock on the door. We're going to knock. We're going to knock for that baby Judah. We're going to knock. We're going to knock. And we're going to knock until God answers what we need. And if we don't always get the answer with me, I can tell you what, God gave us the faith to continue to knock. Because he says, that's what moves me. Faith never stops knocking. So why has it prolonged? Maybe God is teaching us in the midst of this how to not stop knocking. You could have easily said, well, God's not going to heal my wife. I'm just going to stop praying. We have not, as a church, stopped praying. Amen? And we as a church are not going to stop praying and believing. Why? Because our sister needs something from her father. And we are going to intercede with our brother, and we're going to keep breaking that door down until we get what we need. Amen? So in the midst of that, God's saving souls. On the day that Lazarus was in the grave, they said, okay, Mary and Martha, today is the day you're going to see my glory. What's the glory? Well, number one, I'm about to raise this man from the grave. Number two, I'm about to show you a faith you've never had before. You believed me to heal your brother, but now you're about to watch me raise him from the dead. Your faith is about to go to a whole nother level. Life interrupted, right? Beautiful disruption. My brother came up with this author, CJ, for this book. And I've been thinking about it because it's like what I'm talking about. It's like there's interruptions in life that are absolutely beautiful. It's for the glory of God, right? So we're dealing with things for the glory of God. So now today you're going to see my glory. I want you to roll that stone away. And still just like Jeff Lee, but Lord, he's been in the grave for like 4 days. He's stinketh. That's King James. He really smells bad. This dude is ranking. That's ghetto. This dude ranks. He stinks. He's been in there 4 days. It's a proven fact he's dead. I know it. That's why I waited so long to get here. Because there's something that I wanted to do. I not only wanted to build your faith. And I not only want to bring your brother out of this grave. But there are going to be a multitude of people that are about to watch this go down. Y'all with me this morning? Come on, Brother Lauren. There's a multitude of people watching your life every single day. And they're about to watch something that I'm doing go down. Amen? And so in the midst of that, God begins to move. They rolled that stone away and that man came out of that grave with his grave clothes on. They begin to unbind him. The crowd went nuts. They were like, whoa, this man just calls this dead man who stinketh to come out of this grave after 4 days. Wow. The Pharisees were blown away. This man is doing these miracles, dude. What the world are we going to do now? This guy's making us look bad. I mean, everybody thinks we are the man. We are the Christian ballers of the time. We are the people. And now here's this guy right here. He's working these miracles. What are we going to do about it? We need to put a stop to this. So they were stirred up. God let that happen to reveal who they were and all their pride and arrogance. Y'all with me? And then he showed the multitudes of people, I am God. I just raised this man from the dead. And it says in the Bible, John 11, go read it. Many believed on Jesus because of the miracle that he worked. Amen? So why? Why are we still waiting? You know why we're waiting? We're going to wait patiently on the Lord because God tells us to wait patiently on the Lord. And we're going to believe for God to do a great work. We're still knocking. Many of you have been praying for Tammy. Another day goes by. Tammy gets a little bit better. Another day goes by. Tammy gets a little bit better. We get shifted to another room. In that shift, Chris Phillips was with me, and he can testify to this. We had multitudes of afternoons where we were sitting downstairs in the lobby of that hospital. Everybody that came by, God opened the door for us to minister and love on somebody. We talked to people whose children were in extremely bad a car accidents, and we're praying for them. Another family was in there that lost their family member to a brain aneurysm, and they died. We're in there praying for the people. The people are weeping. We're ministering Christ. We're loving on them. Ministry after ministry after ministry after ministry. If it never would have happened, we never would have spent 8 days on a mission trip at Our Lady of Lake Hospital. Come on now. Why does God let things happen? Because our feet are ordered by God, guys. Our steps are ordered by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what am I telling us today? Can y'all understand what I've been ministering here this morning? Young people, do you hear what I'm talking about? I'm not just telling wonderful stories here. I'm talking about a reality of having an intimate walk with Jesus Christ. An intimate walk with the God in whom you say you know. He is real. He loves you. He cares about you. Miss Burke is smiling, shaking her head. You know why? She's walked with God. She's walked with God. She's been with God through good times and bad times, sick times and poor times. Everything that we go through, God has never left us one time. Come on now. He's not left us and he's not going to leave you. I want you to be encouraged today by the power of God to know that God is not going to leave you. Rachel and Patrick just got married. Wonderful couple. They brought us sushi the other night. Thank you for the wonderful night of fellowship. But as I was sitting there watching y'all at the table, this message was going on in my head. And I was thinking, you know, here's a young couple that's just gotten married. This man is Mr. Hallmark. He loves his wife. And she loves him, and they have given themselves together. They've got a life adventure. They're talking about kids and how many kids, and they're going to try to outdo Becca and Felix that want five kids. And we're talking about the kids and how many kids, and I was just thinking, you know what? What a beautiful picture of a couple that's madly in love with one another and have joined together in matrimony, just like we have with Jesus. And God is going to take us down this journey of life called a walk with life, okay? It's a journey. Paul said that everything that he faced that were troubled times in his life, when you read about the Apostle Paul, everything was working death in him. Y'all remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Death worked in him, but it caused life to come out of us. Death works in us, Brother Lauren, but life comes out of us. We're learning this life. We're learning of Jesus. We're not learning a bunch of things about him. We're learning an experiential life with him. We get to experience life with Christ. We get to see that he's there with us all the time. Amen? And we get to go proclaim this God in whom we see, we feel, we've handled, we've tasted, which is the bread of life. He's with me. He's comforted me. He's helped me. He's helped my wife. My wife is still healing this very day because you're still knocking on the door of God. You're still at his throne of grace interceding for my family. You're praying for my mom and the troubles that she's going through with the loss of my sister. These are very painful things, guys. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing up here with a smile on my face. I'm excited what God is doing. I am hurting of the death of my sister. I'm hurting about my mom and the situation. But I can tell you, Mom, if you're watching this, I love you. God is with you. There's a testimony in your life. You hear me, Mom? There's a testimony in your life. He loves you, and there's a greater weight of glory going on in your life. I can tell you, my family is closer than it's ever been. I've got aunts and uncles that I used to see only at Christmas time. And we've got to spend some good times together because of troubled times has brought us closer together. You hear me? God's got a bigger picture all the time. And he's always building our faith. And he's always bringing reconciliation. He's always doing something beautiful because he's good and he cares about us, guys. I want you to stand with me as I read this last passage of scripture. How many of you thankful for Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Go on, give him a hand clap of praise. I'm thankful for Jesus this morning. I'm thankful for my family this morning. I'm thankful for what God is doing in the midst of us. I want to read this passage because, you know, how many of you know in here this morning that God loves you? I'm not saying that just because the Bible says. I'm here to tell you this morning, God loves you. And he cares about your situation right now. He cares about my sister Robin. He cares about Brother Lauren's wife, Mr. Rebecca, and every one of you in this room and on the internet that can hear my voice. God cares about you. He loves you, and he wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to have an intimacy with him. He wants to walk with you through every single thing you face in life. When you look at Chris and Rachel's life and you see what God has done from their past, you're like, how do people get through that? And then have another baby in the exact same form. Oh my goodness. Really? Does God really care about you? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And God knows exactly what he's doing because the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of God. And look at the testimony after testimony after testimony. Mission trip, day in, day out, preaching in a place that you'd never get into unless you're in the hospital. They just won't let you in there. Amen. Thank God for troubles. We get to preach in the hospital. Amen. And in the midst of that, it has taught all of us how to pray and knock and be persistent with God. Because I'm going to tell you, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth. That's King James. It availeth much. Amen. How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you know we're seeing it right before our eyes? Let's pray more. Let's pray for our presidency. Let's pray for everything that's going on in this world. Listen, don't stop knocking on God's door. And listen, it's a testimony of what God is doing in the hour in which we live. Listen to this. God loves you. It says in Romans 8, this is a very familiar passage of scripture. I will preach this till my last breath. These are some of my favorites. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, come on now, we ought to wake up every single morning and you ought to remind yourself of this beautiful passage. If God is for you, Miss BJ, what or who possibly could come against us? Amen? I'm talking about sickness. I'm talking about troubles. I'm talking about persecution. I'm talking about rioting. I'm talking about whatever this world will launch at us, whatever fiery dart can come shooting at you. If God is for me, it's personal. Who can be against us? Amen? He that spared not his own son, we're talking about the blood of Jesus. We're talking about that man Jesus, but delivered him up for all of us. How shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things? Guys, that is good news this morning. Who shall lay anything against the God's charge of the elect? Is it not God that justifies? Who is he that condemneth? Is it not Christ that died and yet rather has risen again from the grave? Who is even at the right hand of God, and he's making intercession. How many know this morning that Jesus is making intercession for us? Aren't you glad for that this morning? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We just straight up say nothing. Close the book. Done deal. But God goes in to give you some explicit details. If God is for us, who can be against us? We could just shut the book. Listen. Who shall separate you and I from the love of God? We just say nothing. Be done with it. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the Bible says. Who shall separate you and I from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Distress? How about persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? You sure about that? How confident are you to know that that's true? How do you know it's true? Because it's written. Amen. How also do you know it's true? Because you've lived it. Come on now. We've lived it. And if you haven't lived it, young people, you will live it. You will with full assurance and confidence, like the Apostle Paul say, there is nothing that will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not one single thing this world could throw at me. As it is written, for we, the children of the living God, are killed all day long. How many of you know that? We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. It's over with. Every day, you're counted as sheep going to the slaughter. Paul said, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, being made conformable unto your death. Well, it's happening. Every one of your steps are ordered by God. Sister Robin, your steps are ordered of God. Mom, your steps are ordered of God. Amen. Tammy, your steps are ordered of God. Every one of you in this room, listen, if you're born again, your steps are ordered of the living God. Yea, in all these things, I don't care what it is, you and I as children of the living God are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us first. Paul said, for I am persuaded, and I am as well, if you couldn't tell. I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come. No height, no depth, nor any other creature. Nothing shall separate you and I from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, guys. Our Savior is worthy of worship. Can we all come into these altars and let's get together and let's worship our King this morning. Let's begin to thank Him for the troubled times, good times, bad times. Doesn't matter what we face. Let's worship Him this morning. Let's give Him the praise that is due to His name. Lift your hands. Sing unto the Lord. Praise your God. Thank Him for these times of troubles that you may be dealing with right now. Because I can tell you, as Paul said, it is working a greater weight of glory right now. It may be disturbing your life right now. It may be hard right now, but God is building a testimony. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of His testimony in us. There's a testimony in you. This world gets to see every day.